Chapter 44 The Fizz Tank. There was darkness above. No one had switched on the overheads, though I had not heard any footsteps ascend the catwalk. Yet I had the feeling something had changed. Someone was in the room, maybe close by. I spoke up. Hello? Is anybody out there? I listened for breathing, heard none but my own. Slightly louder. Is anybody out there, Mr. Blackwell? Hugh, if you're there, we have to talk. No answer, but I still sensed a presence nearby. I tried once more. Mr. Blackwell, if you're there, we have to talk. We have to talk. Still nothing. Then his voice, husky with emotion, spoke up. Parker, I'm very sorry about this. I've thought it over carefully, and I can't let you out. However, I want you to know that I will see to it that a scholarship is established in your name.
Mr. Blackwell, look at me, please. Just look at me.
Slowly, the slightly darker silhouette of his head appeared above the rim. Cupping my hands, I flung about 5 ounces of cola over my head and scored a direct hit. I heard him gasp and step back. He reached up for the lid, and I caught him with another volley that struck him under the armpit. He tried slamming the lid. He tried several times, but it wouldn't close. In fact, it sprang back up each time he tried. My humble rubber wedge was performing as if my life depended on it. Finally, in frustration, he stomped off, or at least stomped with as much stomp ability as an old, rickety, two-legged lion could muster. I heard his footfalls going down the steps. Then he was gone. Within minutes of his departure, I heard an eerie, far-off sound, as if a horde of miniature banshees were stampeding up a pipe. This was followed seconds later by a cloud of tiny bubbles that erupted under me and rose to the surface, where they began popping and fizzing, sounding to my ears, which were right down where the action was, exactly like a freshly poured soft drink. It sounded like pure static. I dove immediately, searching for the source of the bubbles. The CO2 was entering through a pipe that fed in through the side of the vat, about a quarter of the way off the bottom. With my ears beneath the surface, the sound was even more chilling. It sounded like a chorus of shrieking baby piranha swimming hungrily upstream for their meal. And I was the sacrificial cow. In desperation, I looked for something with which to clog the pipe. I located a sock and tried inserting it, but it popped right back out. I rose to the surface and took a few breaths. I didn't think any of the rest of my clothing could be enlisted in the cause, certainly not my shoes. Then I remembered again the professor's dental plate. It was also moving about in the current. Trying to grasp it, trying to snatch it, was like trying to snatch up a slippery bar of soap in the bathtub. I kept encountering it, only to have it flit and skirt away. At last I succeeded in snatching it out of the stream and then shot to the surface, where I took more breaths, then quickly dove again. Rounding up both socks, I wasted no time inserting them, one after another, into the pipe. Using my left hand like a catcher's mitt over the hole, I held them in place and let the still filtering bubbles sieve through my fingers. Then with my other hand I used my thumb to jam the dental plate in as far as it would go. The feeder pipe was 1 inch in diameter and made a 90-degree turn down as soon as it left the vat. I was able to jam the dental plate in halfway past the bend, where it stuck at the weld. Cautiously, I extracted my thumb, then my hand. Nothing came out except a greatly reduced stream of bubbles. Everything else stayed put. From the sound alone, I could tell right away it was working, although I hadn't sealed off the carbonation entirely. I had definitely reduced it by as much as 3/4. The effect of this was to transform the raucous bubble chorus into a much smaller and more benevolent school of piranha fish. Returning to the surface, I noticed that what had previously sounded like a freshly poured soda pop now sounded like one that had been left out on the counter for a while. Much of its fizzing power dissipated. I continued treading water and waited to see if I would pass out. One new thing I discovered: it is much easier to stay afloat in a mildly carbonated beverage than a flat one. The bubbles clung to my flesh, from the soles of my feet to my armpits. Particularly, they accumulated in cracks and under the small of my back, where, whenever a sufficient number had built up, they released in streamer trails that rolled up my ribs, tickling me. Not an unpleasant sensation, actually, particularly to those parts that enjoy being tickled. Over time, though, that was going to change. Even the most delightful tickle becomes a torment if it goes on too long. More time passed, yet I remained awake. This was good news. With enough fresh air flowing down from above, and with the items clogging the pipe holding, I figured the air in the vat was never going to reach the concentration necessary to cause me to pass out.